Well, as I said, this is a very familiar story that we have before us this evening for our little time of meditation. Pray God will just help us to get a grip again and a grasp again of what this is trying to say to us, each one of us, believers and unbelievers alike. For here we have one of whom the Savior said, didn't he not, in Luke chapter 4, in verse 27, he said these words: many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Isn't that marvelous? Gentile, one who was outside the pale, as it were. God in his mercy had come to this man and brought cleansing from the dread disease of that time, of course, of leprosy, which there was no known cure, very much like, sadly, the Ebola disease apparently now that has no cure, that is taking place in Nigeria and Sierra Leone and so on. So here was a man, he was a Syrian, he was a great man, he was a commander, he had great respect from his king, great and honourable. Everything was going for him. But you know, the buts of Scripture are so very real, aren't they? Lovely buts there are, but some are very serious buts. Because he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that must have meant to that man? To his soldiers, to his king indeed, to all that he tried to serve. How he did it, I don't know. How he was able to serve, because as we know, under the Levitical law, the Israelites, of course, were shut out. If you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were shut outside the camp. You couldn't come anywhere near. And if you receive a cure miraculously some way, you went and showed yourself to the priest. And he alone was the public health officer in those days. He could declare whether you were cleared of leprosy. Very rarely, of course, it happened, except, of course, when Jesus came. And we have the wonderful story of the lepers that came to Jesus. And how that as they came, they cried out to him, didn't they? And they prayed that he would heal them. Listen to those words in Luke chapter 17. As Jesus was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Well, there it is, you see. They weren't allowed to come anywhere close. But how this man was able to be a great captain and honourable man and do great exploits for the king of Syria, we don't quite know, with his leprosy. But these men were outside the pale, just as the Levitical law indicated they must be. And they stood afar off. They didn't come. Unclean, unclean. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they went, they were cleansed. Cleansed. You see, here's the power. Here's the power of God still today. He's still able to save. He's still able to cleanse. He's still able to bring new life to dead souls. We're all spiritually dead apart from Christ, moving in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are lepers, sinful lepers, not lepers in the flesh, as it were, as these people were, as this man was. But leprosy of sin has cut us off from God. We no longer can come near him. Naaman lacked in his life purity. He wanted to be like other people. He longed to be like other people. I no doubt he went to the Harley Street of Damascus or wherever it might have been to see whether he could get a cure. Tried everything. Like the woman with the issue. She went everywhere. She spent all that she had on doctors and physicians, and nothing availed. Until she came to Jesus. A wonderful experience, you know, and remember how that she came and she pressed away through the crowd. He was surrounded by people because they knew that he'd got the message of hope and salvation and grace and healing. She comes and she presses her way in and she touches, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. What faith! And he says, somebody touch me. The disciples said, well, how can you possibly say that, Master? How can you say that? There's all these people around us. Somebody touched me. I've seen, felt virtue go out of me. But she was healed. All the money she'd spent, all the places she'd been to, all the things she'd trusted in were as nothing, because they couldn't do anything. when she came to Jesus in faith, touching just the hem of his garment, she was healed. And here was Naaman, great man, man of valor, but he had a malady. And that malady was leprosy. And this evening we are as a company of God's people, maybe not all God's people, but we're a company of people gathered together in God's name, in the name of Jesus. And we could be just like Naaman, all those lepers that called out, Jesus, have mercy on us, because we're apart from God. We may have everything else. We may be honorable. We may have positions of authority. We may have good standing in our community or in our homes and families and so on. Christian parents, Christian influence, coming to church or chapel. But you know, if we're not trusting in Jesus Christ tonight, we're still like the lepers. We are set apart from God. Our sin, as the Bible puts it in Isaiah 59, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Isaiah 59 verse 2. Separate. We're separated. But Jesus came to reconcile, to bring together again those who were lost and outside of the kingdom. He did it by that wonderful, wonderful act of mercy and grace in Calvary. Well, we're not going to go into that at the moment, but here is a man. But he was a leper. He had a malady. An awful thing. Cut him off. I no doubt cut him off from some of the lovely occasions that he could have. We went to a lovely barbecue last evening at Charlesfield, and it was lovely to be there together with other Christians and to have fellowship. But somebody like this, I expect, would have been debarred from something like that. If they had barbecues in those days, I expect they had something similar. But whatever it was, he would have been debarred from. No doubt he had his own barbecues or his own togetherness with other people, but he couldn't mix with other people because he was a leper. He was impure. He hadn't got the purity that he needed. He wanted to be like other people, but he couldn't. He had a malady, and we have a malady of sin this evening, and it needs to be dealt with. It needs God in his mercy and grace to come to us and touch us by the power of his Spirit and heal us. And he only can do it. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we're lost apart from God's grace and mercy this evening. But you know, here was this man with an awful malady of sin, an awful malady rather, leprosy, debarring him no doubt from many things that he might have been able to do, although he did many other things. Honorable man, great in the eyes of the Lord, even to gain victory over Israel. God allowed him to do that. Why did he do that? You know, God is sovereign. Why did he allow that this man, a great commander of the army of the king, why did he allow him to go and defeat Israel? You know, God never makes a mistake. He is a sovereign God. And he knew what he was going to do when that little maid, that little girl, was taken captive, brought into the home of this man, Naaman, working for his mistress. God planted her there because she was going to be the means of becoming a blessing to this man. He didn't realize that, and the little girl didn't realize that. Don't let's underestimate the ability of little people, little girls and boys, young as they may be. If they're coming in simple faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be a great blessing in a home that is at the moment apart from Christ, where Christ is not honored or revered. If a little girl, a little boy comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ with a simple faith and goes home, a little child we reach and leave them. Often that's happened. Many a home, many a family has been changed because of a little child. Well, here's a little girl. Just a maid, just a servant. What use was she to God? Ha ha, yes, but look. She had a faith in Jehovah God. She believed in the God of Israel. She believed in the Almighty God. However small, however weak her faith might have been. And in the experience that she was having in her home where she was a slave or a servant, he could have said, I'm not going to bother with my master. He gets the due deserts. He's a Syrian. Why should I bother with him? Jesus said, love your enemies. And they're hungry, feed them. If they need water, give them water. So, love your enemies. She had no bitterness in her heart. She said, look, to her mistress, she said, if my master, if only my master with the prophetess in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy. What a faith. How could she say that? How would she know that God was going to move to the prophet of Israel, Elisha, to heal this man? You see, that's a simple faith. She believed God. Do we believe God like that? You know, we often complain. I certainly complain to the Lord sometimes. My faith is so weak. I know sometimes you think to yourself, well, the older you get, the stronger your faith becomes. It is not always true. The older you become, sometimes your faith becomes even smaller. The enemy comes in, tries to distract you and divert you and tries to say, oh, you don't really believe all those things you read about, do you? God is with you. He'll not forsake you, never leave you. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord who changes not. You don't believe all these things. Underneath and around about you all the everlasting arms. Well, I do. Sometimes the faith can be very small and we don't intend not to trust him, but we become a little bit weary and a little bit weak in our faith. And we have to ask the Lord to strengthen us again, renew our faith. We're very much like the man who said in the New Testament, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Well, here's a little lass. She has something to say. She has a message to give to her master, or to the mistress, to give to the master. And what a message it was, wasn't it? What a message. What a faithful testimony given by this little lass. No one else could help him. As I say, he'd probably been to all the physicians, just like the woman with the issue of blood. He'd spent the money, no doubt, that he had. He'd been to the people who supposedly had means and methods of healing in some ways, but nothing had happened. Because she had spent all she had, and she was no better. But rather grew worse, it says, the lady with the issue. And I say that he would have done everything he could to try and cure his leprosy, or at least to get something done by it. And now here, something amazing happens. She says to her mistress, look, if only my master were to go to Israel. What a foe, the enemy of Assyria. Go to the king of Israel. Ah, now there it comes, isn't it? She had the message. She had the testimony. She had the right word to say. Because she believed that Elisha was the prophet of God. He represented Jehovah God. He had the message of God. He believed God. And he could do wonderful things through his servant. But she didn't know. She didn't know. She was only a little girl. How could she know that God would heal him? That's what it says. If only he goes to Samaria, she's talking about Elisha, but of course she knows that Elisha is the prophet of God, and God had given him the power to serve as a prophet and to do the work of prophecy in Israel. But she says he would. He would. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though heated in the chase, sometimes we sing. What is your faith like this evening? What is my faith like? Do I really grasp the truth of these words? That God is able to do things. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to come into hearts and lives tonight, here and elsewhere. You know, the courts of heaven are ringing tonight. They're ringing tonight with the praises of angels. Why? Because sinners are coming to Christ. Wonderful. The choirs and the heavens are ringing because men and women and boys and girls and young people are coming to trust in Jesus. You say, well, it's not perhaps happening here. Well, it may not at the moment. But it matters not. It is happening. It may feel small, and we are feel very small over at Grunsburg and so on, but God is still the same God. And she believed that he was the same God there, even though she was in captivity, even though she was serving a foreign and a heathen, a pagan king and master. So the malady, the message, well, she says, look, go, go, go. And so he takes it up. Naaman tells his master, thus and thus said the girl is from the land of Israel. Now the king of Syria could say, what a lot of nonsense. You taking notice of somebody from Israel? A girl? Who is she? You're not going off your rocker, are you? Look. Don't forget it. We've tried, you've tried to get healed by this leprosy. And you know that we've got the best physicians and all the best of medication and so on in the country. We can't do it. You're saying that you're going to listen to this girl and what she's saying. But he didn't do it. You know, here is another faith that comes even to a pagan heathen king. He takes it up, but he writes a letter. I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. And he, of course, he departed, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing, brought the letter to the king of Israel. Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, I've sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. You can't buy salvation with money. You can't buy healing. This king thought, well, it's going to cost something to get this. If this is correct, if this is true, if this girl is right, if this prophet in Israel can heal him, he's going to have to be paid. Can't just go there and say, come and do something and heal him like that. I've got to do something about it. So take this money and take all these things with you. Changes of clothing and so on. Goes. Misdirected, misguided. Listen, when the king of Israel reads the letter, he tears his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make a lie? He's trying to make a plan here to get me to give myself problems with him. Can I make a lie that this man sends a man to me and heal his leprosy? Trying to see if he could make a quarrel. Tears his clothes like they did in the Old Testament days. They put ashes on their head and so on. And, you know, Elisha, the man of God, heard this. You know, I rather think, sometimes people say that there's no humor in God's word. I don't believe it. There is, haven't even. I believe that Elisha had a wry smile when he heard this. You know, you've gone to the king of Israel, and you've thought that that's where you're going to get healed, and you've taken money to get it. He says to the king of Israel, why have you done this? Why have you torn your clothes? What's the idea? What are you getting up to? Look, he says, let him come to me and know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, of course, you might say, well, he's putting himself forward. But, of course, he was the representative of the Most High and Holy God. He had the power. He had the power that God was going to invest in him and had invested in him. And if he was going to heal this man, or God was going to heal this man through his servant, he was going to do it. And he says, send him to me. He's gone to the wrong place. He's misguided. You know, how many people like that today are misguided? Going to the wrong places. Going to all kinds of religious events, religious groups, and all manner of things, going into Buddhism and Baha'i faith, and all manner of things. Trying to find some answer to their need. They've got a need. They're conscious of a need. They're not conscious perhaps of sin, but they're conscious of a need. There's something there, and they just can't seem to get the answer to it. And so they're searching. And if they're searching, we must be the ones who tell them that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and they may go in. It's the cross. It starts. We've got the answer. We've got the gospel. We must give the gospel to them. This man was mistaken. He was misguided. He went to the wrong place. He went to the king of Israel with money. You can't buy. Ho, come and buy milk without money, without price, the prophet Isaiah said. It's free and sovereign grace. Gospel says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus. He's the gospel of come, you know, when the disciples were faced with the awful sight of 5,000 people, and they were all hungry, and they all wanted something to eat, and the disciples said, we can't do anything about this. We can't help them. They're hungry, Lord, but what have we got? He says, what have you got? 5 loaves and 3 small fish. What are they among so many? Of course, we know the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. He knew what he would do because he's a sovereign God. And he was able to feed all those people. And he's still the same God today. And he's able to give salvation to whom he will. It's not by works or by anything that we do. Those wonderful words, and I often use them in my prayers to the Lord. By grace we've been saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. How we pray that God would give that gift of faith to people today. They're so hard, they're so indifferent, and we've got neighbours who are lovely people, but there's no spiritual awareness. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded their minds that they should not understand. We've got to pray that God open their minds, open their spiritual understanding. They might see their need that can be found, met in Christ Jesus. I say, Elisha then declares the way. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Oh my word, what a message to come out of this honorable man, this great man, who's come with all this money and with all the change of clothing and all the backing of his king in Syria. Wash in Jordan? That filthy river? No way. No way. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. He was going to reject the message of the prophet of God. And he would have gone back to Syria, still a leper. An honorable man, great and honorable in the eyes of his master. The Lord had given victory in Syria and all the rest of it. But he'd have gone back to Syria, still a leper. Why? Pride. Too proud. I'm not going to do that. That's not the way. I thought he'd come out and he'd stand there and he'd wave his hands over me and he'd heal the leprosy. God doesn't work like that. Elisha was going to be in the background when miracles happen. The man of God, the woman of God, whoever he uses as his servant or his channel of blessing, they must decrease, like John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. You know, when the woman had the trouble with the creditors coming to claim her sons because her husband had died and she'd only got a jar of oil, and he said, well, the prophet said, get all the jars you can and bring them into the house, and excluded the neighbors. Why? Because God was going to work his miracle without the glam, without all the things of the people outside looking in. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And so here is the man coming to the position where he was going to refuse to do what God had said through his servant. Are you going to refuse tonight? Are you going to say no to God? I'm going to go my way. I'll do it the things that I feel I'm going to do. I want to live life my way. I've got a lot of things to do. I've got a lot of aspirations. I've got a lot of hopes. I'm young and maybe or middle-aged or whatever. I haven't accomplished all the things I want to do. And I'll be hampered and hindered if I come to Christ. Pride, you know. Pride keeps people away from the Lord. Pride keeps people away from the believer who knows Jesus said, believe and be baptized. You know, it's a humbling experience to go into the baptismal pool. And it should be. Should be. Because he has done a marvelous and a wonderful thing for us. He died for me. He died for you, sinner. Sinners as we are. When we go into the pool, why, we die with him. Buried with him. But raised as we come out of the water. Victorious in Christ. New creations in him. Sometimes people say, I couldn't do that. I love the Lord. I do believe in him. I do trust him. But I can't face it. Maybe it might be nervousness. I don't know. Lord, help us not to judge people. But it may be something that says, I couldn't do that. No. I couldn't do that in front of people. You know, this man wasn't going to do it in front of his men. He wasn't going to let himself be made to do something that he didn't want to do because pride was going to stand in the way, and because he thought in his heart. He says, I said to myself, the authorized version says, he thought to himself, and a lot of people have got thoughts themselves, what they're going to do or what they're not going to do. And they stand away from God's way of salvation. Other things, he says, far and far, but there are far better rivers. There's far better ways to get to God, to get to heaven. There isn't. There is no other way. Jesus made that so, so very clear, didn't he, in John 14. I am the way, he said, the truth and the life. No one No one comes to the Father except through me. And if we're looking to come to God and to trust in him and to come one day into his presence, it's only through Christ and Christ alone. Christ alone. Turned and went away in a rage, it says. So I said, look, look, Master, look. If he had asked you to do something great, why would you not done it? But he's simply asking you to do something so simple. Wash and be clean. Just do what he says. Or the Jordan might not be the rivers of Aban and Pharpar. They might not be so lovely as the Orwell and the Deben or whatever it may be. But just do what he says. That's obedience. But you know, he didn't do it just because of what they said to him. It says he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. Now you might say, well, they influenced him. Oh, yes, in a way they did. But he did it according to the saying of the man of God. That's what brought him to submit himself in obedience to go down and wash in the Jordan. I wonder what his thoughts were. I often, when I look at this story, I wonder what his thoughts were when he went down once, twice, 3 times, 4 times, nothing. 5 times, nothing. It's not working. Not working. 6 times, not working. 7 times. And what happens? His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. 7, of course, we know is the biblical number of perfection. And here it was. When God saves, he saves completely. Absolutely. Nothing is left undone. And you can just imagine what it must have been in that man's heart and being when he came up out of that water. And he was absolutely cleansed of his leprosy. His flesh became like a little child. Imagine that. Little child's flesh. Tender and soft. Gone. Leprosy had gone. That's what happens when Christ comes into your heart and life, dear brother and sister. If you're not in Christ tonight, what is it that's keeping you away? The malady is sin. Are you going to the wrong places? You're misguided, you're mistaken. Think things can happen because there's other ways of doing it. Buy your way into heaven, perhaps even. I don't know there's anybody ever rich enough to do that. You know, it says he believed. And what did Paul say to the jailer on the occasion when the jail was destroyed, or at least broken down by the earthquake, and the jailer called out, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul didn't say, well, you better go through this procedure and the other procedure. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Can't be more simple than that, can it? Can't be more clear. You will be saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the wonder-working power of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The great thing in this man's life was he was accompanied by an open confession. That's why I mentioned baptism. He said in verse 15, conclusion, indeed now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. No God. You know the blind man said, didn't he, in John's gospel, when Jesus cured him of his blindness, and people kept saying, is that the man? Is that the man that was by the way when he was begging and so on? Some said, well, he like him. He seems like him. I think it's him. I'm not sure that it is him, but, well, we just don't really know. But what did Jesus say? He said, well, you know, or rather the man said, I know that once I was blind, but now I can see. And I can say that with the assurance of God, the Holy Spirit, in my heart, not because of anything in me, but because of God alone, by his grace alone. through salvation, saving grace, I know by grace I've been saved through the faith God has given me. I know that I have eternal life. I have sins forgiven. I know that I have an inheritance reserved in heaven for me. I know I'm going to see my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to be like him. Wonderful. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. Where do we stand today? Have you been to Jesus with the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's the malady, the message, the misdirection, and the misconception. But the wonder of it all is, he came to the place where he was healed. And we know the rest of the stories. He wanted to go, when he went into the temple of the heathen pagan gods, he wanted to take some earth with him and ask God to forgive him, as he had to go and worship still with his own king and his retinue and so on. Well, what a testimony the girl had. What a testimony Naaman had. And he's mentioned in dispatches, as it were, in Luke's gospel by Jesus, that he was the only one who was healed there in Israel at the time. Well, the Lord help us and give us understanding of his gracious and loving word this evening.